Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. It is now time for Inside Matters, Spiritual Talk, Healing Done Right, Spiritual Growth, 12-Step Indigo Meditation, and much, much more, hosted by...
I love that ditty. That Space Soldiers, you know, it's been with us for a long time. It still says hosted by Duchess and Jules, but of course Jules hasn't been around for a while. But I can't bear to change it. I just like it. So I cut it off like real short before it says the two names. This is Duchess, and I love being here. Haven't been feeling well the last couple of days. Was running a low-grade fever. I don't know what it is. It's definitely not COVID because I don't have any of the other symptoms. I do have, a problem, I don't know, with my stomach. But that's neither here nor there because if there's nothing I can do about it, what can I say? This started Friday. All doctor's offices were closed on Friday and then Sunday and then Monday and then, you know, Monday's a holiday. Saturday, did I skip Saturday? Well, let me tell you, I just have to wait. I'm not going to urgent care because I don't feel it's that urgent a problem. I do know that I've decided to have a second opinion examination on my back because this back is really wreaking havoc in my life, especially in the middle of the night when I try to get up and go to the bathroom. So, here I am, and like most people, I have some things going on in my world that I need help with, and so I look for the help that I need, and most of that help is doctors, okay? So, I don't need to bother y'all with what's going on with me right now at the moment. I'm here. I started the show about 30 minutes late today because, like I said, I have not been feeling up to par. So let's start with the Happy Father's Day. I want to say Happy Father's Day, and there's a whole lot of y'all out there. Happy Father's Day to all the wonderful, loving, supportive dads, to anyone who has lost a father or father figure. Happy Father's Day to people who have difficult father relationships. Happy Father's Day to those who stand in as fathers and stepfathers. Happy Father's Day to fathers who have lost a child or children, to anyone who can't be with their dad today or with their child. Happy Father's Day to new fathers still adjusting to fatherhood. How about Happy Father's Day to those facing the challenges of infertility? Because we know that even though you may not have your own biological, you are working with some nieces, nephews, the neighbor's kids, school children. You're doing your fatherly duties or your fatherly gifts. Happy Father's Day to fathers who are doing the best they can, to anyone feeling pressured into fatherhood. Happy Father's Day to those who don't feel like traditional dads. Happy Father's Day to single fathers raising children alone. To foster dads who care for kids with love. Happy Father's Day to those who will soon become fathers. Happy Father's Day to fathers who have positively changed lives. Happy Father's Day to anyone who needs a little extra love today. Happy Father's Day to you big brothers out there who are big brothers to little brothers. And as a single female head of household, Happy Father's Day to all of you females out there raising those children single-handedly with your neighbor's help, your best friend's help, all the other networks that you have pulled together around you to support you as you raise those children by yourself. So happy Father's Day to single female heads of household out there. I'm not going to forget you because I was a single female head of household myself for all of the years that I was with my children. If it wasn't for my girlfriends and my neighbors and the community and me just knowing how to network, it would have been horrible. So I know the struggle and the challenges you're going through. It's not an easy road that we've traveled. Okay, with Father's Day out of the way for the moment, let's do the Juneteenth thing. So for those of you who don't know what Juneteenth is, and I'm sure there are a lot of listeners who don't know what the heck is a Juneteenth. Well, honey, let me tell you. Juneteenth celebrates the end of slavery in the United States. It is also known as Emancipation Day, Freedom Day, Jubilee Day, Juneteenth Independence Day, and Black Independence Day. Because you see, on June 19, 1865, Major General Gordon Granger arrived in Galveston, Texas, and announced the end of the Civil War and the end of slavery. Although the Emancipation Proclamation came 2.5 years earlier on January 1st, 1863, many enslavers continued to hold enslaved Black people captive after the announcement. So, Juneteenth became a symbolic date representing African American freedom. Now, I'm holding in my hand right now a fact sheet, and it assists congressional officers with work related to Juneteenth. And it contains sample speeches and remarks from the congressional record. So to reiterate the history, they have the history here, exactly what happened. As we said, it wasn't until June 19th, 1865, that Major General Gordon Granger arrived in, where did he say? Galveston, Texas. And at that time, made an official announcement that the Civil War had ended and so had slavery, okay? The General Order number 3 reads as follows. Well, this is how it read. The people of Texas are informed that in accordance with a proclamation from the Executive of the United States, all slaves are free. This involves an absolute equality of personal rights and rights of property between former masters and slaves, and the connection heretofore existing between them becomes that between employer and hired labor. The freed men are advised to remain at their present homes and work for wages. They are informed that they will not be allowed to collect at those military posts, and they will not be supported in idleness either there or elsewhere. So, the 1865 date is largely symbolic, okay? The Emancipation Proclamation issued by President Abraham Lincoln, you know, had legally freed the slaves in Texas on January 1st, 1863, almost 2.5 years earlier. Even after the general order, some slave masters withheld the information from their enslaved people, holding them enslaved through one more harvest season. You know, Texans celebrated Juneteenth beginning in 1866 with community-centric events such as parades, cookouts, prayer gatherings, historical and cultural readings, and musical performances. Over time, communities have developed their own traditions, and some communities purchase land for Juneteenth celebrations, such as Emancipation Park in Houston, Texas. Now, as families immigrated from Texas to other parts of the United States, they carry Juneteenth celebrations with them, okay? And so on January 1st, 1980, Juneteenth officially became a Texas state holiday. And as of last year, Juneteenth has become a national holiday. All right. Since the federal government, all 50 states and the District of Columbia have also commemorated or recognized the day. So here you are, Juneteenth is an official holiday as of last year. Official. So everybody can get Juneteenth off. And I think there are a number of states. I'm not sure. I think there's 18 states where you can get Juneteenth off with pay. So there you go. So what are we going to talk about today? There's so much to talk about. I still think I'm running a low-grade fever. It was 99.8. I like it. I have a digital thermometer. When that thing goes over 98 points, I mean, it starts jumping and dancing under my tongue. Like, wow. And I was like, I said, oh, boy, I have a fever. So, trust me, if it goes over 101, I'm going to somewhere. Let's talk about Lena next. And then we'll get into, we're going to get into the principle behind Recovery Step 6. And then lastly, if we have time, I'm going to talk about the 9 ways to help others awaken to consciousness. Because, you know, we're waiting for that critical mass to happen. They're still doing all of those shooting. And I told you last time that it's not going to stop until there's a critical mass. There's like, you know, something happens and a push to make a substantial change. Not a BS change, a substantial change, you know? Because I'm going to tell you, these United States of America, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else, but there's a, I don't understand the ugliness that can happen. I don't understand it, why some people, especially those people in government, can be so ugly. It's ugly. I don't know. Okay, let's talk about Lena Stevens, because her main theme for June was reality check and turning point. And I like what she was saying about the energy of the solstice this month should be used proactively as a way to honor some turning point in your life, you know? So choose something that you have been either procrastinating or the fence or on the fence about yourself. You know, you got to make these things happen. Taking a step forward usually comes with needing to release something that was holding you back. It could be fear, doubt, confusion, or something more tangible like the attachment to a person or physical item that has provided you with a sense of security, like a job, a personal environment, or a relationship, you know. So, but some of these things, you got to let it go. Because, like she's saying, you got to get a reality check. A reality check because there's a turning point. Okay? How about in relationships? Relationships may go through some adjustments this month as a separation of what is yours and what belongs to someone else that sets necessary boundaries and releases expectations. Oh, reality check may open your eyes to how wonderful and supportive a relationship is, but it can also show you where there may be dysfunction in assumption and expectation, like your relationship with yourself and your inner self. What is your relationship with yourself and your in not only your inner self, but your inner truth? And it's important. It's important this month for you to take stock of that. Check it out. Okay? Out of the acknowledgement of your truth will come choices and decisions that may affect those around you and your relationship with them. Your relationship with them? Did you see me stop? Yeah. You think it's just a relationship with yourself? But your relationship with them may need to be adjusted. It is important to look at motivation behind certain addictive behaviors and to take responsibility for what they are attempting to avoid, fix, or eliminate. Your turning point may be to release relationships that don't serve you as well as to allow others to support and love you, provided the intention is unconditional. So, you know, sometimes we have issues with our own children. And if they're not supportive and you're walking around depressed, heartbroken over these entities that are, well, you feel was sent here to give you love and you're not receiving this love unless you do X, Y, and Z, well, then that's not called unconditional. And then for people to hold stuff over your head without telling you exactly what it is you did to cause them to treat you the way they treat you, well, now we're talking a bunch of BS. That's like, give me a break. Give me a break. You know? Give me a break. How you gonna hold something over somebody's head, treat them a particular negative way without telling them why you're treating them that way? There's no such thing. I have neighbors right here in my building. I mean, I have people at my job. I don't hold things against people or treat people a particular way, especially if it's negative, without letting them know what they have done to cause me to treat them that way. Because a lot of times you may find out that that was not their intention. It was something that they said without intending for you to take it the way you're taking it, or causing you to feel the way you're feeling. You don't do that to people. If something is bothering you, you go to the person. You say, can I speak with you in private? Because you really don't want an audience. Now, if you want an audience, then you're BSing, okay? You take them in private. You sit down and you say, this is what you said to me, and this is how I felt by it, by what you said. And 9 times out of 10, they're like, oh, my gosh, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean for you to take it that way. Oh, please forgive me, blah, 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 blah. And that's what I found. Or they'll say, well, you know, this is how I felt about it, and so on and so forth. And you say, okay, I appreciate you clarifying the situation for me. I'm sorry. You know, but you don't be holding stuff. I'm getting ready to say the S word. You don't hold stuff over somebody's head. Treat them like crap. And then expect them to guess why you're treating them like crap. You know, that's just somebody wanting an excuse to be nasty, all right? And Lena says it. You know, your turning point may be to release relationships that don't serve you, as well as allowing other relationships to support and love you, provided the intention is unconditional. So be a bit vulnerable and work through the fear of entrapment as well as any fear of abandonment. The reality check is this. Are you happy? Are you getting what you need? Well, if not, why not? It is up to you and no one else. So don't sit there whining and crying. I mean, you know, if it comes up, you know, it makes you think about it, then, you know. But do your best to send yourself back to happy land, back to happy zone. So the other thing that she talked about, excuse me, that she talked about was health and the physical body. Now, I really am being faced with some challenges there. And they're not good because I am like really, really not motivated to do much. And why am I not motivated to do much? Because my back bothers me. But if I don't get up and do something, then I'm going to lose the stamina in my legs. I do make sure that I keep an 8-pound dumbbell by the side of my couch because I like to sit there and watch TV all the time. So I lift that up and I do pull-ups and push-ups like 30 up in the air, 8 pounds each arm, because I'm trying to maintain the muscle tone in my arms. I feel that the majority of senior citizens, when they fall, the reason why they lay there and can't get up is because they don't have enough muscle tone in their arms to lift their own weight. And if I'm going to keep getting bigger and bigger, then I need to be able to lift my own weight, okay? So Lena was saying that there is great progress to be made in this area this month with your body and your physical health. Your health is perhaps the biggest issue in regard to discipline and telling the truth. Many addictions have to do with the physical body and its illusion of comfort. Yeah, you know, it's an illusion when you're taking drugs and you're drinking alcohol and you're feeling comfort and you're doing it every day, all day. And then, you know what, it gets more and more and more. Then, you know, that's an illusion that you're comfortable with this. Most of us know what we should, quote, be doing to live healthier lives and support our bodies as the containers for our lives. And many of us lack the discipline. Why is that? I fall right into that trap with everybody else. Why is that? The body is a creature of habit and gets used to habitual behavior very quickly. To break bad habits takes discipline and a willingness to go through some discomfort. When that discomfort hits, we tend to blame the body for it. If you intend to stop drinking or eating sugar or changing your diet or exercise routine, you need to talk to your body and support it in other ways instead of coming from an attitude of punishment. If all you feel is discomfort, it is easy to give up the discipline, you know? So if you are at a turning point to make a change in your habits, make sure you include ways to love and support your body. It is an elemental. Did y'all not know that? And it should be treated as you would a child or a favorite pet. Take your body for a walk. Do something fun. Treat it to a massage or something of beauty. And take baby steps, acknowledging improvement along the way, no matter how small. You have the opportunity to really change your health around this month. Okay? Be practical and achievable goals. Give yourself plenty of time. Be present and conscious with the process. The other aspect of health is your emotional health. Ooh, this is a big focus right now and requires support, even if you think you can process old trauma and childhood issues yourself. You know, now when I read this and she said this to me and I was reading this, you know, it brought tears to my eyes because it's the truth. You know, our issues are in our tissues. And although we may think that we have forgiven things or we have forgotten things or we don't care about something, it's a lie because our issues are in our tissues. And our, like she said, elemental, the body is a sentient being. It hurts. It feels. Every cell in our body has memory. So we need to get support if we need it. And don't be afraid to ask for help, you know. And we need to acknowledge that when old emotional debris crops up, comes up to haunt you, it is a good time, as you can now face it. It is a good time. Tell the truth about it. Forgive it. Release it to the past. Feed your emotional health with beauty and inspiration. Whatever brings you emotional comfort should be nurtured and included in your support system. Emotional health will also be an area of importance, especially when you're doing that reality check. Are you in an environment that supports your emotional health and healing? How about what needs to be healed? Or does it enable the wounding in some dysfunctional way? Making appropriate changes could be part of your turning point. And I agree with that, you know. Since I'm in recovery, and I know that it takes 21 days to break a habit. So if you're going to get in the habit of doing something different from the habit that you're in that's not healthy for you, it's going to take 21 days. That's like 3 weeks. And when we go into recovery, we are taught that we go to 90 meetings in 90 days. That's so we can get in the habit of doing something other than our addiction. We're turning it into a positive, you know, 90 meetings in 90 days. And they tell us to go to different types of meetings because not everybody goes to the same meeting. So you're going to meet different people. Every single meeting has its own flavor, has its own energy, has its own vibration, and you will begin to see which meetings you enjoy more than other meetings. You begin to listen to a wealth of information and challenges and changes that other people went through, okay? So in recovery, 90 meetings, 90 days, get a sponsor. Work those 12 steps. We'll be getting ready to chit-chat about those 12 steps in a minute. Okay, and don't pick up. Don't pick up. Work those 12 steps. Get yourself a sponsor, somebody that's got some clean time, sober time, somebody who has worked the program and know what they're doing, and they've been around for a while, you know, and they have a sponsor also. Why would you want somebody to sponsor you that doesn't have a sponsor themselves? Well, I'm letting you know that I have a sponsor, and I know my sponsor's sponsor. And I have a sponsee, someone that I sponsor, and that sponsee knows me as their sponsor, knows my sponsor as my sponsor, and knows, well, I guess her upline sponsor, which would be her great-grand sponsor, that kind of thing. So, yeah, we help each other get through this this challenge that we will be afflicted with for our entire life. So people think that being in recovery is a one-time shot deal. No, no. Because like I said, our issues are in our tissues, and our tissues remember. And ain't nothing like the demon saying, ho-ho, I caught you off guard. I'm still here. So, we talked about Happy Father's Day. We talked about Juneteenth. We talked about you. And I want you to know that confidence, when you are confident, it is when you believe in yourself. So don't let anybody fix you and call you conceited. You know, when you are confident, it's because you believe in yourself and your abilities. Then there are those people out there who are arrogant. Wow. There's a difference between being confident and arrogant. Arrogance is when you think you are better than others and act accordingly. You know, that's those snobby people. Those snobby people, they just knew, and I knew this, and I knew that. And they look down on you because you don't know, but they knew. Arrogance is ego. Confidence comes from the soul, okay? Remember this. Arrogance is ego. Confidence comes from your soul. Arrogance is thinking you are above someone. You know those arrogant people that are looking down on you? Confidence is knowing that no one else is above you. Okay? That's confidence. Arrogance is thinking you are above someone else. Confidence. So that's your reality check. This whole program is about taking a reality check. A reality check. I keep looking at my menu, Ovi. I'm going to tell you, if I hope I have time, I'll tell you about my menu. Because this is Father's Day. I was a single female head of household. I'm going to Father's Day. I'm going to order me some takeout. And I got my menu sitting right here. So remind me to tell you about my menu. Okie dokie. 12 steps. I know some of y'all get bored with this, but there are so many out there that need to hear this, okay? Now, we talked about 12 steps of recovery. We admitted, step one, we admitted we were powerless over our addictions and our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of our Creator as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to our Creator, ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. This is the month of June. So the sixth step is we're entirely ready to have our Creator remove all these defects of character. Didn't know you had a lot of defects of character, did you? So, when you're willing to have your Creator remove all these defects of character, let's talk about the principle behind the sixth step. The principle behind the sixth step is willingness, being willing. Okay, so during the sixth step, the principles begin to work in combination. Willingness is your decision to stop holding back. In some ways, it is an extension of the principle of surrender, guiding the first step. Okay, the first step, to admit we are powerless over our addiction and our lives have become unmanageable. Put another way, it is you relaxing your ego and will, your not only your ego, but your will, letting go of your own preconceptions and your own stubbornness and giving permission for your recovery to proceed. Willingness also means purposefully having an open mind. This means remaining consciously committed to accept new ideas, new concepts, and new ways of doing things, even if you don't fully understand or are uncomfortable at first. In other words, it means having hope and faith that your higher power has you on the right path. Yep. Your higher power's got your back. Again and again during recovery, you will be asked to reflect on concepts that are new to you or do things that you may find difficult. But it is your willingness to do whatever it takes to recover that will keep you going while you are learning and growing. So, when we talk about the six steps, remove, when time is ready to remove all these defects of character. Whoo! I mean, we have, and a lot of people who aren't in, there's a whole lot of recovery programs now. So just because you don't drink and you maybe don't take drugs and all that other stuff, there are recovery programs. I mean, I told this lady about Sugar and Carb Addicts Anonymous. And how about Clutterers Anonymous, Cocaine Anonymous. There's Emotions Anonymous, Debtors Anonymous. I even have a friend who's in Gamblers Anonymous, okay? Gambling almost wrecked, well, it did. It wrecked havoc in her life until she got her hang on, you know, got her hands wrapped around it and went into recovery so that she could get herself together. But yeah, 6 months, six principle is willingness. We're entirely ready to give our creator, have our creator remove all these defects of character because we do have so many. And yeah, it's a wonderful thing when you start realizing what they are and being willing to take care of them. So with that, I think the sixth step moves into the seventh step prayer. And I vow next month, by the seventh month, I'm going to learn that seventh step prayer by heart. I know the 12 step prayers. I offer myself to thee to build with me and to do with me as thy wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self. Please take away my difficulties, and victory over them will bear witness to those that I would help. Thy power, thy love, and thy way of life, may thy will, not mine, be done always. And that's the third step prayer. And before I could go further with any of the other steps, I needed to learn for myself the third step prayer. And that third step, the principle behind the principle behind the third step is commitment. And once you've done that commitment, then you're ready. You're ready to go ahead and flow. You're ready to clean house, baby. And that's what step six is getting ready to do. It's about to fill some good stuff up in the house. Because, you know, you did your fourth and your fifth step. Now you're ready to put some good stuff in there. Okie dokie. Last but not least, before we get to my menu. Last but not least, let's talk about these nine ways to help others awaken to consciousness. We can learn by simply being ourselves. We can help the people in our life see a living example of consciousness. Now, we have to practice these things in all our affairs because they come and go, and as light workers, we forget, we're human, okay? So we practice these steps, we practice these actions, you know? So it's principles, we practice them, and that will ever be perfect. Practice, not perfection. There you go. Oh, the first one. We're going to live by our values. And when we live by our values, it allows us to become a positive source of inspiration for others. Don't hide. Please, express yourself and embrace life without reservation. By simply being yourself, you can help the people in your life see how one person can make a difference by being a living example of consciousness, okay? You're not going to be talking about people behind their back and blah, 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 and so on and so forth and whining all the time. please. Two, when you communicate your views, do so casually in a non-dogmatic manner. Allow people to speak and allow yourself to speak with them in ways that if they ask you questions, you know, you answer them. Offer only as much information as they are ready to hear. You know, I have my family members. They know when I'm sliding little stuff in. They know me by now. But I also know when to begin backing out of the situation. You can watch the expression on people's faces and know when you're losing them and learn how to back out. Back out of the conversation that you're in because you're losing the person that's listening to you by virtue of what you are saying. Three, igniting the spark of consciousness can be as easy as giving someone a gift, a favorite book, a medicine bag, or a beautiful gemstone can pique your loved one's curiosity and prompt them to begin an exploration of the soul. Make sure when you give these gifts, especially these gemstones, you explain to young people you're giving to. I gave my grandson, let me put him on blast right now. He's like 14 years old. I gave him a gemstone to wear around his neck for his protection. The necklace broke. He threw the whole thing in the trash. Eyes crushed. Because he could have had that gemstone in his pocket. And whenever he needed the energy from that stone, stuck his hand in his pocket and held on to it and rubbed it. So remember that you give gifts that are age appropriate. Because a lot of folks... Or make sure you explain to them the gift, the nature of the gift you're giving them. Excuse me. Four, teaching a friend, a relative, or a colleague to meditate or chant can put them on the path to consciousness while simultaneously reducing their stress levels. This works sometimes. I had a friend. Kept getting heart palpitations and stuff and anxiety. And I tried to teach how to meditate. No patience whatsoever. But then there are some people that I've shared meditations with. And it's like, oh, my God, this is amazing. Oh, can I have a copy of that meditation? Can you do that? You know, and it's amazing. So people are ready when they're ready. You know, and you can't push them. Five, others may want to know more about living consciously, but are unsure of how to begin. Starting a discussion group, even a virtual one, can help you reach out to individuals that are eager to learn. Six, by recognizing and acknowledging the inherent value of everyone you encounter, you can teach them how to value others. Sometimes the easiest way to encourage people, even challenging ones, to respect others is to respect them first. Oh my goodness, I love that blouse that you wear. Are those new earrings you have on? What about that hairstyle? I mean, and you're really, when you compliment somebody like that, make sure it's the truth. You're not doing it just to BS them, you know? But if you see something on somebody that you like, I mean, I have seniors in my building. I mean, their hair is so pretty. They have that white, pretty hair. And I tell them every time, I say, oh, when I grow up, I want my hair to be just like yours, you know? So recognize and acknowledge something about individuals, if you can. If you can't, don't BS them because it comes out as being phony, all right? 7, invite people from your personal and professional lives to join you in attending a ceremony or ritual. Well, the experience may touch them in a profound way or introduce them to a new spiritual path. Well, I started my solarium, a 12-step meeting on the fourth Monday of the month, and it's posted all around my building for anybody who wants to come, and it's open to everybody. So when they come, I have a list of every single recovery group, about 33 of them, right there available on the table for them to go through it. And the meeting has been going very well. 8, casually point out the interconnectedness of all living beings using concrete everyday examples. Many people are unaware of how their actions affect the world and are intrigued when they learn the power they hold. That is so true. I mean, we even have lizards running around. And I'm like, oh, my goodness, look at my little brother, the lizard, kind of sort of thing. They think I'm crazy, but, hey, that's how I attract attention. And that's how I'm able to give my version of my connectedness to life, to humanity, you know, to the earth, to the animal energy, that kind of stuff. I love it. 9, introduce your loved ones to conscious living in a lighthearted and enjoyable way. Serve delicious organic recipes at gatherings, volunteer as a group, and show them how wonderful it can feel to be truly aware and connected to the universe. Alhamdulillah, all praises be. So there you go. That's how you can help others awaken to consciousness. Because like I say, we got to latch on to, and what do we say? That one match flicker can light or illuminate a whole room. But we need a lot more matches out there. We need a lot more light. We need to hook into each other. We need to affect the change. And I'm praying that it happens in my lifetime. You know, in my mother's lifetime, she saw the first black president. In my grandmother's lifetime, she saw an airplane or whatever. You know, it's like, come on. There's a whole lot of in your lifetime first. And we'll see. I'm waiting. I am waiting. So what am I going to do for myself for the next couple of weeks? Number one, I'm going to check into Medicare because I heard by talking to a senior citizen in my building, oh my, what do they call it? Durable medical equipment. I can get a recliner because I can't sleep flat on my back. I can't sleep on my side without pain. I'm going to get a recliner. At least I'm going to look into it because I need one of those. I'd be so much more comfortable. And y'all won't have to be waiting for me. I won't be all this pain. And y'all be sitting here waiting for me and I don't show up. Now, let's talk about how I'm going to treat myself for Father's Day. I got to tell you the story, the backstory on this one. I was sitting downstairs one day in what we call the fireplace room. There's a group of people down there. They were ordering stuff. And I happened to mention, oh, my gosh, I haven't had lamb in a long time. I would love to have some lamb. And so they started talking about lamb and beef and this and that. And so, you know, it was amazing. The conversation turned around. You know, was directed towards food, you know, and I said, well, look, you know, I got to go. I'm going to get my mail and I'm going back upstairs. So I went and got my mail and in my mailbox, there was a menu for a Chinese restaurant, authentic Chinese cuisine, Hunan Village. So I was looking through the menu, trying to see what I was going to order for me to eat. And as I'm looking through the menu, it dawns on me they have chicken, beef, seafood, no pork. They got lamb. Talk about manifestation. I had never seen a Chinese restaurant, except in New York, where the Chinese people were Muslim, and they had halal or kosher menu. Lamb. No pork on the menu. So that's what I'm going to do today. I'm going to order me some from the pork-free restaurant and have it delivered here, because I deserve a break today and I deserve to be celebrated, just like all the other fathers and all the people celebrating Juneteenth. And I need to celebrate me as a person, okay? That's my reality check. That's my turning point today. I'm going to celebrate Duchess because I deserve it. And there's nobody else around to do it. So I want you to know, I want y'all to have a good day. We started late, and I can't go over the time because I'm running into Blog Talk's prime time, and that starts at what time? I think that starts at 7. I guess I could have run over a little bit because it starts at 7. But I don't want to take any chances. Thank you so much for loving me. Thank you so much for being out there. Thank you so much for listening. And for those of you who feel that I haven't communicated with you personally in a while, it's not because I stopped loving you. It's just that I've been going through a whole lot with my brother dying and all of his affairs and helping his daughter with the funeral and stuff. And now, you know, just stuff. And then I have my own back issues and medicine and, yeah. But now I'm getting off, signing off, gonna go take my temperature and then order my food and then go downstairs and wait for it to be delivered. Hang out with some of the seniors down here. You take care. Love you good. And I pray that I offered you some spiritual connection. Thank you. Be safe. Talk to you real soon.